Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
Well, concerned. I never know where you're at when you're not here in the studio. You're wandering through the world. You're on your life journey here. You could be climbing the Himalayas. You could be, volunteering in the Mother Teresa soup kitchens in India. I never know where you're going to be.
I'm going to give a shout out. We are actually at the International Spa Association Conference in Vegas. It's
yes.
iSpa. And the website is experienceispa.com. If you're in the spa industry or in the hotel industry, hospitality industry, you need to know about this group. They are celebrating 25 years of being in business, and I am waiting.
You just got locked out there. They just closed the door and locked you out of there.
Okay, so let's explain to some people what's going on here and why the Himalayas actually has some prominent some reasoning for being mentioned.
Yes.
Paul mentioned to me a while back that if I'm going to make him suffer through a remote show, that I need to have the proper equipment to do it.
That's right.
So, he advised me to seek out a Yeti. Which, last time I looked...
Not a Sherpa, not somebody who's going to help you climb the mountain.
I'm sorry, the Yeti ate the Sherpa, so there is no Sherpa. But the abominable snowman, I can never say that word.
Abominable.
Abominable, yeah.
Abominable.
I sound like something out of the 50s. But... we have a Yeti mic.
Yeah.
And the Yeti mic, if anybody is interested, you need to go look up Yeti. And I think the company's name is Blue, isn't it?
That's right. We've had them on a show several years ago that do very high-end vocal mics. And they make, in my opinion, the best podcasting mic. And that's what I suggested you get. So a little plug to Blue.
The Blue and Yeti.
That's right. No,
and I will say I've been worried about it. I've been worried about it for the last 2 days that I've been here. We're like, oh my gosh, technical difficulties, I will give a little shout out to Paul, because he really makes it so easy for me to walk in. Yes, I know, Paul, last minute to the show.
That's okay.
We have everything ready, but he really, it's all that technology and all that thing, and I was really concerned. I'm like, how the heck am I going to pull this off on a remote location?
Yeah.
And so I set up the Yeti, which for people who will go and look at it, looks like something out of a prop from the Larry King Show.
Yeah.
Right?
Tonight Show microphone. It's a big...
The Tonight Show.
Yeah.
You're on the air with Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
And it really was as simple as plug and play.
Mm-hmm.
It just connected to USB. We have a couple of headsets on it. And I am waiting for the chairman of the board, which I told him I was going to refer to him as Mr. Francis Albert.
Well, you're in Vegas, so yeah.
Mr. Michael Tompkins. Yeah, obviously, I figured, we're doing a remote, and you're the chairman of the board. Guess what your code name? The president has a code name. You have a code name.
That's right.
And so Mr. Francis Albert Tompkins, Michael Francis Albert Tompkins, the chairman of the board, will be joining us here shortly.
So isn't this amazing? It really shows the power of this medium. You are doing a live broadcast. That's why we were delayed in getting this started here. But you're doing a live broadcast from the spa and hospitality show. Is that what it's called? Or just the spa show?
No, it's the International Spa Association's annual conference.
There you go.
For as long as I remember, definitely the last couple of years that I've been attending under my own flag, they've been at the Mandalay Bay Resort and Convention Center. So there's another plug for Mandalay Bay there.
Right.
Hopefully the residual checks will start coming.
Yeah, we got to get something out of this.
Yeah, we actually we are here, and it's the largest spa association. Oh,
the chairman is here.
Tompkins Sinatra has shown up.
He's in the building. Give him some headsets.
I'm giving him some headsets.
Yeah,
and we'll have Frank. Frank, will you take a picture of us while we're being very geeky with the headsets and the mic?
Here we are streaming live.
And but we're streaming live, and it was as easy as plug and play, and we got the Larry King of Life thing, you know?
Yeah.
I love it. So I'm going to, you know, it's perfect transition. You were asking me about the organization.
Right.
And we're doing it remote from here, and actually we're delayed not because we had technical difficulties. We're delayed because we were actually talking to a gentleman from PricewaterhouseCoopers.
Oh.
And they were sharing some trends and stuff like that that was going on, and we will be basically, I recorded it. Again, the software was Audacity that you referred me to.
Right.
Very easy to use. And so we will have that along with a couple other people that I have lined up for this afternoon. We'll compile that and we'll put it in as another show. But I'm going to let Michael introduce himself and answer your question about what is this iSpa thing?
iSpa is the International Spa Association. We represent nearly 4,000 members in over 78 countries worldwide. And we are the authoritative voice of the spa industry. We speak for all of those spas and resort spas and day spas around the world that provide modalities of healing for mind-body-spirit approach in a way to further the betterment of our industry.
Well, for really for the betterment of all of us. I mean, right? And we were talking to the gentleman, Colin, and I'm going to butcher his name, McElhaney?
McElhaney,
right, okay. Good Scots I had on the show here a minute ago. And they were talking about that. We were talking about the growth in wellness and that it's finally we are not just using it as a label catch-all. We're mm-hmm. actually trying to get our hands around what that means. And that, so, yes, I think you can claim the betterment of all of us.
You know, I think so. And you know, I'm a provider as well. Yeah. I started in the nursing field and then was a massage therapist. But, you know, one of the things that I've always felt is that, you know, for the last 25 years, we were what is spa. For a long time, people thought that a spa was a hot tub.
Right.
There were so many different interpretations for it. And thankfully, iSpa has brought the spa industry to a place where we no longer have to define what spa is.
Right.
And so I worry about wellness at this point, and wellness is becoming everything from dog treats and kitty litter to, you know, yoga centers and dental care. And I think they're going to have the same startup issues
struggles
with having to define what wellness is.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Last year, you and I were talking, and you said something, because this is your second year as chairman, right?
This is my third year as chairman.
Yes. Okay. So I don't know what prompted it, but we were talking, and if my memory is correct, and I just turned 50, so I don't know. But, you know,
we always say on this show that Rod's just a wannabe baby boomer.
Yeah, he's a real baby boomer, Paul, over there. Yeah,
he's just a wannabe.
But you know what? You're outnumbered today. So don't push your leg there, pal. But the thing that you said to me was that concern. You voiced that concern, and you voiced it from the perspective of, you know, we just need to do what we do.
Exactly.
And not get sucked into this thing with wellness that is just, you know, we can spend so much resources and spin our wheels and all this stuff. And it could be an issue of timing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could be really an issue of timing of not getting, you know, full bore on this thing. Because, yeah, I agree. It's like it's almost like green, right?
Yeah.
What does that really mean, you know?
And organic
and
all
organic
the rest of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, you know, for me, it has been about a lifetime of education that I've gotten through iSpa and the conferences that we're having here, and this being our 25th one.
Mm-hmm.
But the resource partners that we have, the level of products that are on the iSpa trade show floor, and then, of course, the education and the research, which is really what all of this goes to. iSpa is a complete nonprofit organization, and so every dollar that we make goes back into funding research for the spa industry. And so, you know, I have been blessed with getting to meet some of the best people in the industry, from architects and designers to software system CEOs to makeup and skincare lines, and it's been a phenomenal career.
You know, I did not know this about you, Michael, and you just mentioned it a few minutes earlier. You know, the focus of the show tends to be, or we accidentally stumbled into this thing where it's like a journey of aging,
mm-hmm.
okay? And basically, if we really took away the magnanimousness of how that sounds, it's really basically what Rod's interested in, what the heck I want to basically highlight.
But Rod's journey as he gets older here, yes, and what he experiences with his clients and himself.
You do realize two things are true, Paul, right? They say about older people, as they get older, they get less diluted, so heaven help us all, including myself, when that happens to Rod.
Yikes.
The other thing is that age.
The other thing is they forget.
Actually, I kind of did that on purpose. Did that work out?
It worked perfect.
It worked out perfect. So, but the thing that you mentioned that is kind of near and dear to our hearts is because we deal with boomers. Because you know, we started the first show we started was we had Casey Kasem's daughter in there talking about elder abuse, right? We've had domestic abuse. We've had people that you know talk about this thing called affluent abuse, which is basically what happens behind the pristine white walls and gated communities to people. Right? So we touch on difficult topics. We touch on you know
returning vets and all the things
that prime directives. You know all the stuff. We do it lightly in the form of conversation, but you pointed, you just said to me that you were in nursing first.
I was. You know, I started my career as a registered nurse and transitioned into hospitality. You know, and, you know, you look at the root of the word hospitality and it's hospital. And I think that I have had the same job all through my entire career, and that's taking care of people.
Right.
The thing that thrills me the most is that I've landed in the spa industry and now second to that as chairman of iSpa. And so I get to take care of people in a much larger format now. Yeah. And so I appreciate all of our members who are doing those 30-minute and 60-minute services every day, serving, you know, the betterment of the public for stress reduction, and which is the number one reason people come to spas. But I'm trying to do it now from sort of an aircraft carrier perspective. It's moving a big ship, and our mission is to, you know, provide that service to everyone out there in taking care of people.
But, I mean, I think that's very important. I mean, rather than having an organization that is sort of corporate in structure, I think, you know, it's a massive organization, right? And like you said, it's the prominent voice for this industry and all that it touches, which is across the board. I mean, it's just getting bigger and bigger every year, right? What impact we have on different things.
It is. And the nice thing about it is that while you say corporate structure, I say iSpa is a community. We're a family.
Well, that's the difference. I don't think it is. And to have somebody like you who is coming at it from originally being involved in the care side of it, for that to be a guiding light in the thing, I think, and I know the service providers themselves. I mean, you know, we give a lot. I mean, there are people that do a lot of stuff with cancer, with breast cancer, prostate cancer. It's just expanding, and it really comes down from that part of the soul that wants to give and embetter. But to have that as part of, you know, at that higher level, and for you to have the opportunity to do it from what you were saying is an aircraft carrier kind of perspective, I think that's really what makes this organization special.
I appreciate that. You know, one of the things that I found in, you know, leading the iSpa board is that no matter where you are across the iSpa family, we all are looking for the betterment of each other. Yeah. It's not whose piece of the pie is it, it's how can we make a bigger pie.
Right.
And I love that about being part of the iSpa organization. But it goes down to every single level, the members, the resource partners, the staff that we have at iSpa, and even you, Rad. The fact that you've brought your radio show here, that gives us the opportunity to get our message out so that people know who iSpa is, and people remind people that there's a spa in your neighborhood somewhere. There's now almost 21,000 of them here in North America. And, you know, go out there and get a little stress reduction and have a little balance in your life so that, you know, you can lead a better life.
Yeah, I think that's becoming more and more important, especially as things get faster, as we have less time for things, and you know, you're seeing it in the type of treatments that people are asking for with time duration, but also the frequency for certain things. You know, it's a maintenance versus a luxury thing that you give away once a year to somebody because you have a gift certificate. You know, the whole dynamic has changed. I've been involved in this since 98, you know, and to everything from the business side of it, where, you know, it was just a giveaway, and now it has to be revenue generating, that aspect of serious business, but also the permeations into society. And as we have now boomers and millennials, and then in between the Xers that are sort of bridging the two, that desire to take care of yourself, you're going to live longer. You know, you don't want to pop a pill for everything.
And you want to unplug.
And you want to unplug.
As Randy Zuckerberg said, she was our keynote speaker on the first day. Right. There's a new trend that's coming out there that is people unplugging, whether it's for a day, you know, for those people who are constantly connected to the electronic world. Sometimes it's just a dinner so that, you know, you can have a traditional family dinner without electronics. I mean, there are certain ways that we can make simple steps to turn shutting off the world so that, you know, we can engage with each other in a really heartfelt way.
I want to come back and find out how you can have a dinner without electronics here, because
you fooled before. Remember, I told you about the pepper mill grinder that basically sets out an EMP pulse that basically can just shields no signal around the table.
We're doing internet radio, though. We don't want them ever to disconnect. We want this thing constantly plugged into the brain here.
There's your boomer self-serving
right there,
right? Okay. Hey, we got to listen to this, too. So I would say that this would not be the choice.
Yes, do not disconnect right now.
We got to disconnect for a moment, though, and do a quick commercial. So hang on. We'll be right back with The Rad Life right here in Orange County's only community radio station, octalkradio.net.
You have been listening to The Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only octalkradio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.
Okay, we're back, but Rod's not paying attention here. He's not looking. Now he's looking at the mic. Now he's looking at the monitor here.
Michael had to leave. The chairman of the board has a lot of things to do.
I can imagine. You know what I was going to ask him, and maybe you can answer this or find somebody else there. I'm wondering if...
I'll see what I can do.
I'm wondering if the need for spa services, which were once thought of as pampered luxuries for the lifestyles of the rich and famous, if that is now getting down into average Americans more and more as these services become more available and maybe more affordable and acceptable, and if it's increasing because people are getting older.
Well, you know what? It's interesting. I'm not going to answer your question, and I'm not trying to be ornery. I'm going to pass it's not even a replacement. Okay, I'm going to take a picture, and people will find out later. But this is like my brother from another mother, honest to God, you know, that's sitting across the table from me. It's like there's a mirror or something, right? So, and he told me that yesterday. So I'm going to claim.
He saw it too. Okay. He saw the connection too. Yeah.
But I'm going to turn you over to Frank, and I'm going to ask Frank to introduce himself and what his involvement is with iSpa, and then he's going to give you an answer.
And when you say Frank in Vegas, I worry. You know, this is
well,
like Frank.
Well, see, I
Frank,
the chairman Frank. Of the board first.
Now we got Frank.
Now we got Frank. So, you know, it's Vegas. We're trying to be very authentic to the experience here on the radio, even though nobody can
We're going to have Sammy next here, right? Okay.
Oh, actually, we do have Sammy.
Oh, jeez.
He can make it. I do actually have Sammy. It's almost like the whole Brat Pack is here. So, Frank, say hi.
Hi, it's Frank Pizzicalis, and I am the incoming chairman of the iSpa Foundation, but also founder and CEO of Resort Suite. We do software for hotels and spas. Resorts.
So, do you think it's growing? Has it become more? Is it just the lifestyles of the rich and famous, or is it now become acceptable and available and affordable for ordinary folks as well?
I think it definitely it's definitely expanding. The reach of spa is definitely, you know, when you think of years ago, airline travel, probably in the 70s.
Oh yeah.
It was really kind of the domain of the rich.
You dressed up when you went on a plane.
Exactly. So, and it was just thought of as something that rich people do.
Right.
But once revenue management came in, when the airlines started to offer the ability for someone to purchase a ticket well in advance, or purchase, you know, when the plane was actually half full, maybe they were to get last minute deals. All of these advents in the business methodology actually allowed for airline travel to be expanded to other segments, and many segments.
Democratized. Suddenly everybody's flying here.
Everyone's flying, right? So I think, I mean, we do software. So, and one of the things we we do is revenue management and spa. And I think we can, we can do some things where more and more guests are able to take advantage of offers maybe during times when a spa is maybe pretty quiet on a Tuesday afternoon and you know, be able to fill those times and more as guests start to, you know, we see the massage envies of the world that are offering clubs where you get one massage a month for, you know, $59 or whatever it is, their rate. I don't want to quote them because I don't know what the actual rate is, but it's becoming more accessible to many more people, and I think as a culture, as we start to think more about spa as a way to de-stress, to find places, you know, Rad and I are from both from sort of the old world in terms of our heritage, and you know, back then wellness was a way of life. I mean, you know, you went to the spa, you took in the baths, you it was just the way that you lived, and so I think I can see
us. Now, what about the acceptability, though? I'm from the Midwest. I get a little funny when men touch me, even when women touch me, you know, and I take off my clothes.
Personal problem.
I think that men of my age, I'm going to be 60, I keep saying in the show, I think most of, maybe it's, I'm just showing my Midwestern roots here, but I think men are still in our society kind of uncomfortable getting a massage. They either think of it as it's going to turn into some sexual thing or something, I'm going to get busted or whatever, or something odd's going to come up, or they think it's just uncomfortable. And yet, I will tell you, I've only ever had like two massages in my life, and once I really let go, it was an incredible experience.
Well, and that's the key. And you know, I'm actually part of the foundation, and one of the things we need to do is a better job of really educating the consumer to realize that you know, spas are really an amazing place, and there's really nothing to fear. And like you said, once you actually try it and experience it for the first time, you're hooked. I mean, I travel to, I can't imagine when I go anywhere, if I'm on more of a 5-hour flight, I'm scheduling my spa service
right away.
Yeah. I'd rather fly in coach and get there and have a 90-minute massage. I mean, that's just the way I am. But I am definitely you know, a spa whore, if you want to think about it that way. But I have to, you know, have to get a massage and everything else. And I probably probably didn't get a massage till I was in my 20s. I would say, and maybe I had a little bit of that anxiety.
So how do you break those two stigmas? People who think of spas as just a cover word for this is just a brothel or something here, and that's just what's going to get
no
you in the front door.
For you.
Or they think, and there are, I'm sorry to say, we live in Orange County, there are a lot of, in the Vietnamese community, they have a lot of, they come from a culture where the spas are very common, but they're also used, I'm sorry, in many cases. They're always busting them and breaking them up for offering more than just a massage here.
I'm going to interject. I think, again, you know, such a sort of a stereotypical generalization. I think that aspect of it where it's abused, or, you know, A, is not limited to the spa industry, and B, I think it's not really culturally specific. I think it exists in all places.
Okay.
I think it's an issue. I agree with Frank. I think it's an issue of education. I mean, I've been involved in spa since 98, and the whole industry has changed completely of how we do things. But I think the other aspect that's interesting, and it's kind of encouraging for me, and I agree in coming at it from a sort of an old world kind of approach, we're both from cultures that have sort of an affinity to that, there's also a social component to it. And I think that's an aspect that we haven't really even touched on. I think we have taken this sort of wellness and quality of life enhancement kind of behavior pattern when manifests itself through massage or facials or even, you know, lab testing, but not in a medical environment, you know, things of that maintenance kind of components. And we have now individualized it into rooms. In some cultures, it's different. Like, you got the Korean spas, for example, in downtown Los Angeles, and, you know, the space allocation for those is very different because their sense of private space and personal space is a lot smaller than Western cultures.
Right.
You know, they do scrubs in a room with there's two or three people in there. There's a sort of a communal social aspect to it that we, I think, I'm hoping, see more and more of, whether it's in
Turkish baths or the old
Turkish
Roman baths.
Mineral baths, hammams, you know.
Right.
I mean, even the Native American Indian component.
Yeah.
Okay, which we don't usually, you know, think about. But, you know, sweat lodges are a communal thing. You know,
that's interesting because I, for a number of years, as you know, before I got into radio, for some crazy reason, I was in PR and had a lot of clients in the hot tub industry. And as you guys alluded to at the beginning, the hot tub industry somewhere along the way said, we don't want to be hot tubs for hippies anymore. We don't want to be thought of as the Playboy lifestyle either, you know, Playboy bunnies topless in a hot tub here. We want to think of it as a wellness component, as a stress reducer. And therefore, they adopted your term from your industry, and they started calling themselves the spa industry to somehow kind of confuse that it was your
it's
own person.
It's not a hot tub, it's a spa.
Yeah, it's a spa. It's about health. It's about it's like your own personal spa experience or something. And yet, I have had hot tubs in my whole life because I come from that much more of that kind of hippie culture here. And it is very communal. I never thought about that. It's really, at its best, it's a bunch of people getting together and relaxing.
But if one of the things that our members actually appreciate, you know, our spa operator members appreciate from iSpa is the fact that you know, they can put the badge on their door that, you know, we're a member of iSpa. And that gives you a certain level of credibility. As Rad said, in every industry, there's going to be the ones that are going to latch on to your terms and latch on and try to get some benefit, their own business benefit from the things that you do well. But I think if we continue to rise above and offer the types of experiences that our guests value, I think we're doing the right thing. And you know, there's always going to be the folks that, could maybe confuse with other sort of segments, but more so, I think when you've got positive experiences and people are sharing those about how much spa means to them mm-hmm. and has meant to their lives, I think you start to share that message, and more people say, "Well, you know, I want to look as good as Rad. What's his secret?" You know.
Well, I've always thought that. I mean, So, what are the experiences that what
feeling is mutual.
Give us the state of the industry right now? What are people? What's the current trend? What are the experiences? And what's the coming attractions for this business here?
Me, I think, and you talked about it a little bit earlier about luxury, and you know, and I think that personalization is the new luxury. So the ability to, you know, for a guest to feel like when they come somewhere, they're it's kind of like on Cheers, right, where somebody knows your name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's that ability to maybe tailor and customize the spa experience to each individual, because maybe, you know, I feel uncomfortable in certain settings or what have you. But when I know that and I can start to be sensitive to that, I can make your experience more, you know, much more at ease, and you'll feel at home. And as we said, you know, I think you'll start to see in a lot of communities as they start to be designed for maybe an aging population. I think you'll start to see that spa will become part of that, because it is a social element. It is also a you know, something a part of everyday life. It shouldn't be somewhere
where
you just
multi-generational now.
Right.
Too. I mean, you know, Paul and I, you and I have talked about this last week when we were kind of just tongue in cheek saying, you know, you keep talking about millennials as being, you know, these young whippersnappers. And I said, if you really want to look at yourself in the mirror, that's a millennial, just a lot fewer years. I mean, you know, millennials.
A millennial after 1,000 years.
Millennials are they're all growing beards too, Paul. Theirs is not gray, right?
That's right.
That's pretty much it. But, you know, millennials are the grandkids of the boomers. Right. So on a generational level, grandkids and grandparents tend to usually have a relationship that's maybe lost between the parent and child, like the Xer and the boomer. Right. So there's an affinity there. But also with the recent recession that's happened, which forced people to maybe coalesce all their resources to where there was more of a family unit, multi-generationally, you know, kind of maintaining the wealth and well-being financially of the family overall. We're coming out of the recession. But I think we gained something by going through that I don't see a lot of people talk about, which is that it actually brought people closer, relationships by necessity maybe to begin with. Now, I'm sure there's some people who wanted to kill each other, but you know, I think in some cases, and you know, I don't know about you, Frank. I mean, I grew up where it's like, you know, there's a multi-generational aspect of my life. You take care of your parents. Your grandparents are in your house. Well, you know, your parents are taking care of them. What I find interesting in the United States, which I think is changing in part the recession, the positive sort of unintended consequence maybe is this, is that
because of the nature of the country, because of the way it was populated, because everything started off on the East Coast, and if you've everybody lived in the same proximity, the rest of the country would have never gotten populated, right? People basically at the age of 18 were conditioned to go west, young man, and seek out your fortune and disconnect and become a nuclear family and all this stuff. And the irony is that once you then start wanting to have kids, now all of a sudden everybody moves closer to the parents because that's the built-in daycare system, right?
Right.
So I think what's happening is we have an ability to benefit from these things that are happening. And in the spa industry, an exciting thing for me is, because we, you know, we design these spaces, is that you actually could have, instead of a sweet 16 party where it's just people of the same age, you could actually have not just a mother-daughter party, but you could have a mother-daughter and granddaughter party. Right, and how do you manage
a multi-generational massage?
Multi-generational,
oh my goodness!
Because right. You're seeing it in real estate development. There are people that are basically building multi-generational brand new homes. I told you this a long time ago, Paul, when I was talking to a realtor, and they told me that the pretense is that when you get older, you sell your home, you buy something smaller, you downsize.
Right.
Well, 20% or 30% of all new real estate sales to the boomer generation is actually to a larger home.
Because
the reason why
they're forced
is because they want that house. No, well, either it's multi-generational or they want that house to become a second home for their grandkids so that they feel that there's a homestead, a family place of gathering. And if you take that and you amplify it, that this is what people are telling you they want out of their life. This is the quality of lives that they're measuring right now, right? There's no living rooms and dining rooms. It's all one great room and everybody hangs out. And yes, there's internet signal everywhere and we got to get a pepper grinder to basically eliminate people from talking to each other via text across the table. But all of these things in the industry we are very fortunate to be in, we have the technology to track stuff. And I think you should give a plug to your company.
Well, I completely agree. I mean, we've got to look at the generational aspects of technology in all of this too, right? Because
right.
you've got these digital natives, as I'll call them, these younger people that are now wanting to potentially access spa experiences and all of those types of things. But they want to do it in their way. They are used to having technology. They've never known not having, some sort of mobile device or tablet or what have you. And if you ask them to pick up the phone to call for a spa service or something like that, that's just foreign. Who wants to talk to anyone?
Not going
to
happen, right? I had to point out to my 21-year-old or 24-year-old daughter that smartphone is actually a phone. It can call.
Right. Well, exactly. And they're just, that's just, they'll do everything in their power not to. A lot of our spas need to start to think about how they're engaging that emerging demographic, because it's a growing financial power and they'll be the next generation of guests and everything else. So it may be the way that you engage them may be very different. A lot of five-star properties have a protocol that they have to go through when somebody calls in, and there's just very specific things that they have to go through in order to maintain their five-star rating.
Right.
Well,
and let me ask:
Are those measures maybe going to be obsolete?
Are the obsolete generation?
Let me ask you a question then, because that brings up some interest. We do lots of shows on the network here about different kinds of cutting edge trends. And this is going to sound strange, but we've done a couple of shows. We actually broadcast live from a virtual reality conference here. And people are saying, how are you going to work in these new digital experiences into real experiences? If you don't want people to completely separate and just stumble just sit in their house and imagine they're having a spa, or imagine they're playing basketball and imagine they're climbing the Himalayas, and others will actually go out and do it. They're saying that in many ways you have to find ways to build digital stuff into the real experience as an add-on. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, and I think that for us, as we build out software that can help guests engage and reserve in advance their spa services, their room reservations, their all the experiences, golf and everything else. Well, as you're talking about that, as I imagine it in the future, it could be a virtual butler, it could be an immersive experience where they're now through virtual reality able to, because today if you book a reservation via by phone or on site, it's a very one-dimensional experience.
Right, and you don't really know what you're going to get till you walk in. in the door.
You got a confirmation number. But now, imagine if I said, okay, based on all you books, let me take you a little preview of what you're going to experience.
Exactly. Exactly.
And visually immersive into, I'm now arriving at the property. Now I start to say, well, oh gosh, I mean, I haven't booked my spa services yet.
Yeah,
now I've got
right.
a tour of the spa, and I have to do that.
Now it comes alive. I can see it. I can feel it. It's sort of like seeing yourself in the car at the car dealership. You know, you can exactly. place yourself there.
Yeah. Let me add one thing to that conversation. And I think, you know, if I remember correctly, when I went, I'm staying a lot today, Paul. I don't know.
You are.
I don't think it's the age thing. I think it's too much partying at this conference.
Well, you're holding your head, too. I can see by Skype. So,
what happens in Vegas? Right?
But stays on Facebook.
Stays on Facebook forever.
Yeah.
But, no, I remember when I went to college that...
You can remember that far back?
Yeah.
Wow.
Stop it. So I remember actually getting like... totally hooked on, oh my God, I can't believe I'm going to say this, pinball.
Right? Me too.
Pinball, okay? To the point where I actually, like, you know, I was like Plutowski from Animal House. You know, my first semester was, you know, the GPA was 0.00, you know? I think, you know, I became a computer lab assistant because I wanted access to the computer games. Pong was the game, right?
Yeah.
And so forth and so on. And I think technology is great, but I think what happens is that there's a point of saturation. A point of saturation where the form of input and the form of exchange becomes too disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's pushback. And it's not necessarily pushback where it's an abandonment of technology, but it's how it actually is presented, how is it interacted. If you remember a while back, you know, they started making where you don't have a headset in your ears. You know, it's actually built into your clothing. There's ways to literally, excuse the pun, weave the technology into your life.
Yeah, or Google Glasses, where it's going to be embedded in your frames. Yeah,
which you know, if you're going to put out glasses, you know, find a better glass designer, because you know, those things look like I was a member of the board, right?
Exactly.
I mean, you know, resistance is futile. You will be Googled, right? But the I think it's an interesting time, because I believe that you've got a technology embracing generation in the boomers. You have it definitely in the Gen Xers and the millennials overboard, right? But there's also an underlying problem that's happening. It actually came up in one of the sessions yesterday. Is there's actually a fear, and I'm trying to find the slide because I took a picture of it. There's a fear of aloneness that's also there. And part of that is the disconnect that's happening through the, you know, people are communicating all the time, but are they really connecting? Right? So the technology, I think, has a place to help us identify things where it's customized, where you're really addressing people, right? Obviously, you know, it's only as good as the input that people are going to give you. But at the same time, I think there's room to reinvent the technology and how that interaction is. I mean, if you walk into a hotel and you have an electronic concierge, and you have an electronic butler, and you have an electronic this, an electronic that, there's okay. You basically.
Well, to me, I think it's about removing barriers, right? So when you think of and design, to me, and obviously from your perspective, design, you know, it can evoke so many different things as part of the experience.
Well, it's a very manipulative field. People don't get that.
It is absolutely. And when you think of what Apple did, not just in how they've designed their electronics and all of their devices, but even how they designed their retail experience. They removed the front desk, right? And so to me, I think that could happen in spas and in hospitality, where I can remove this barrier between myself and my guest and actually open arms, embrace them as they come in, be able to check them in. Maybe it's from a tablet device or what have you. So I think technology has to be used in the right way, and we all have to get smarter about how we use it, because you know, also the spa could be a sanctuary from technology, in the sense of, now that I'm in the treatment, okay, now we put the technology away. And, you know, and for some reason, you touch on aloneness. I mean, technology, although we're all so connected, a lot of people also feel even more alone, because they just don't have those human interactions.
Well, and you still need that human contact.
Right.
That's the way we're wired.
We are. And, and it, you know, spa, what we get with spa, you know, is the power of touch. You know, and, right. and
oh, that's,
and I don't mean,
that's powerful. I mean, when you think about that, because you're not just allegorically reaching out and touching somebody here. You're literally reaching out and touching somebody. Yeah,
exactly. And for some people, and of course, we're not talking about this in a sexual way.
Right.
But for some people, being on that massage bed might be the first time they've been touched in a month.
Right.
You know, by anyone.
Like and a human so, contact.
Human contact.
Yeah. You know what's weird about that? I was watching something on some show the other night, and they were talking about maybe that's the reason that old-fashioned barbershops are coming back for men. I know Rad's been involved very much in designing some of these places, men's grooming centers and stuff, old-fashioned barber chairs and barber centers, because somebody is actually massaging your head and somebody's actually massaging your face and cutting your beard and all this stuff. It becomes a ritual. It becomes a rich experience and not just something that you're doing alone.
Cool. Again, do you remember a few years back when there's like this whole buzz about hug groups?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That people who didn't know each other would basically get together and escape to
No, really?
Basically. Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't see
That's
that.
What I love about this conference. I saw
so much hugging, right?
I mean, it's just a big family. You
wow.
get to conference and you look forward to that and you feel so nourished just because you're getting all of these hugs from all of the your peers and people that you love.
You could not hold this back in Detroit where I grew up. Nobody hugs. Strangers don't hug. Only if they're picking your pocket here.
But I mean, I see my father, and I'm sorry, Dad, you know, I'm kind of outing you on the air here, but, you know, I see my dad basically trying to instill some of those things that he holds to be truths, absolutes, right, into my nephews. And it's like every time he tells them, you know, kids, boys don't cry or, you know, we don't hug. And, you know, after a certain point.
Yeah, you got to be a tough guy. Come on.
You got to be a tough guy. And, you know, I'm like, okay, you know what Grandpa just said? Completely ignore it. But then that's my role, right? I'm supposed to be the uncle. But I will share this, if you don't mind, Frank, for a second here, is and we will have this lady on
you've captured some interviews, so we're going to do the highlight show.
I want her on for the full show for the hour. But I'll read this, and I'll give you her name after. But you know, this was a summary of her presentation yesterday. Okay, and it basically relevant to the spa industry. It says fundamentals are strong, economy, lodging market, consumer spending. And we talked to PricewaterhouseCoopers before, you know, and they pretty much echoed that. Although it was interesting because the return from each visit didn't increase. So we've got more people coming, but we're not getting more money
spending
out of it, right? They're spending,
money,
yeah. So, you know, you look at the, like, from the aerial of the numbers, and like, whoopee, we've got a great thing going. You start distilling it down, and we still got places to work on stuff, opportunities, you know, as well as challenges. So the record demand in hospitality, okay, hotels and resorts, and record is growing demand in spas and wellness. And again, we kind of touched a little bit on this with them and with Michael, is, you know, that it's not just spa anymore. It's not just a discretionary feel good thing. Now I'm thinking of it as a maintenance thing.
It's not pampering. It's part of your routine. Yeah.
Part of your routine, right?
And that could be a reason why, you know, although visits are up and overall revenue is up, but maybe how much we're spending per visit might be a little bit down. And it's a negligible amount, but it's down a little bit. But when you think about it, it may be that they're still coming for those core services.
Yeah.
Maybe they're not spending as much on ancillary, retail or other things that may have driven it up or what have you.
Right.
Or maybe they're not getting the luxury service or getting something that's just really maintenance. And so that could be a reason for it. But it's a good sign that they're not sort of not only are they not not doing that anymore, but they're in fact it's growing, and so that's
if we talked a little bit about the fact that it's also time,
right?
Like, how much time do they have, right? And if the system on the operator side is still geared towards longer term treatments, then they're not booking as many of those,
right?
And you know, everything moves somewhat sluggishly around.
But don't you think it seems like there's a Starbuckization of happening place? I see these chains popping up. Isn't Massage Envy one of them?
Massage Envy and stuff like that.
And all of a sudden, they're trying to say this is part of your weekly routine. Just like you go and get a certain number of coffees each week, you're going to get a certain number of massages each week.
Yeah, but even in that same model, Paul, and I agree with you. But you know, we've seen that happen in nail salons, for example. Right.
Right.
And so I think I will turn it on its head. There's still within that Starbucks idea is that you will still go to Starbucks to get your coffee versus the gas station to get your coffee.
But there's also the concept of, you know, rising tide raises all boats,
exactly.
Right? So the more that
Very
you can
point.
Introduce, and as you said earlier about the, you know, the 25% of the population that has ever experienced spa, you know, our goal is to really expand that. So if we can expand that and make it, you know, there's still going to be the aspirational side of it that they, you know, although they might go and get the massage at one of these, you know, lower priced, they're now going to be exposed to it and say, you know, I'd love to get away for the weekend and maybe go visit this particular spa and get a more, it's going to cost more, but it's not something I do every day, but it's something.
Well, or an escape to a day spa that is a shorter thing. It's an afternoon, but it's not where, you know, I just walked into an office building to get a massage. I think it's not a one size fits all, right? And we tend to be in the society where we try to put everything in a neat little box and make it applicable to everybody. I think the promising thing for me with the time that we live in right now is, and I see it through how we designed like that men's grooming shop, right? It is not a one size fits all. And that's going to really separate the professionals in this industry and every industry from the ones that are basically just reapplying the same model on everything.
Well, and if we try to market to the same 25% that have ever experienced spa, we're not going to grow the way that I think the spa industry has the potential to grow.
Right.
We have to expand the base. We have to expand it so that there are these you know, a full range of spa experiences. And I think that as we grow that and more of the you know, the mainstream population is now experiencing spa and the benefits of spa,
right.
I think it helps everyone because then they're going to be the ones that will go on vacation and instead of just having a hotel stay and sit on the beach, they're going to have spa services. That becomes part of it.
Well, unfortunately, guys, even though Rod hates to put things in boxes, we have to put this show into a box because we've run out of time here.
Okay, so I want, Frank, how do people find out about the foundation specifically because you're involved in it?
So they can go to the iSpa website.
Explore iSpa.
Experience iSpa. And certainly there's a section on the foundation, and you know, the foundation really, its goal is to support iSpa and support education and support you know, a lot of the initiatives that I think are important, research, consumer research, all of those things. So we're a little bit behind the scenes, not as much as, you know, most of our members are interacting primarily with iSpa as an association, and the foundation is really there as someone that will put together. You know, we've done a lot of textbooks and things like that. So, I mean, if our iSpa members are listening, you know, now as I'm coming in as the new incoming chair, I'd love to engage them and see how we can start to create more and more education opportunities for our members and start to explore what are the other opportunities globally where we can start to find out about the spa consumer and be able to tailor our products and services to them.
That's awesome. I think I will just... I want to put out another shout out to Lynn Walker McNeese, who is the president of iSpa, and I want to thank Lynn for making this possible. It was a wild harebrained idea to do this thing, and I think I love the way these are turning out. So thanks, Lynn. Thanks, Frank and Michael, who had to leave. It's really wonderful to be part of this big family, and I love being a member of iSpa.
Thank you, Rad. This is rad. This is great. We love it. Thank you.
All right.
Well, thanks, Paul.
All right. Live from Vegas, we're doing the Rad Life here.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos. Brought to you on the one and only OCTalkRadio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.